This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. I'm actually going to talk about something I've touched on before on the show, one of my favorite historical subjects. We're going to touch on that for a minute because I want to get away from politics. I'm going to talk about the forgotten American. We'll talk about foundational principles of the communists when it comes to illegals versus Americans and other things. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. So I wanted to get to this. And why? Because I want to. It's obviously not in the news. I got the subject of this one is Mac V. Sogg, historical oracle. Recently, while watching a documentary of Vietnam, they briefly mentioned a unit called Mac V. Sogg. I was intrigued by this as they described it as the ultimate special forces unit. I had never heard of it before, so I did a little Wikipedia. It didn't tell me much. I was wondering if you could delve into them a little bit and let us know who they were, what they did, and if they're still around. I'm betting a lot of your listening audience has never heard of them either. Says I can say his name. His name is George. Well, George, if what I'm about to get into very briefly, if it fascinates you, you should know that I did a long history show on Mac V. Sogg once before. And I'm here to tell you a couple really, really cool things. You ready? I have two bits of good news for you. First bit of good news is they intrigue you. The more you read about them, the better it is. You start reading about Mac V. Sogg, you will not stop. And I have a second bit of good news for you. First of all, if you want to read my long take on it, thank you, Chris. On November 13th, 2023, so it was a few years ago, November 13th, 2023, in hour two, I did an entire hour on Mac V. Sogg. But that wasn't the other bit of good news. That was just something Chris told me. If you want to hear me talk about it, you can go listen. And I'll tell you some more in a moment. But here's the other bit of good news. This is a Vietnam story. What they did was so insanely classified and top secret that there were years and years and years, for virtually all of my life, most of my life, I should say, no one knew really what it was because they couldn't talk about it. They have since been allowed to discuss it in recent years. And they are out there, the ones who survived and are still alive, they are out there on the podcast circuit telling their stories. If you're not a podcast person, totally get that. They write books, incredible books. John Plaster. Chris, I need you to look this up and confirm. John Plaster wrote one, and I think his name is John Plaster. He wrote a book called Mac V. Sogg, and he was in Mac V. Sogg. And it was so, so good. They called him Plastic Man. Do I have that right? Plastic Man? Chris, say it again. Do I have it wrong? It's called Sogg, but it was John Plaster, right? Okay. Jewish producer Chris just looked it up. And I don't know John. He's not a friend. I've never met him. I'd love to meet him. But John Plaster wrote a book called Sogg. If what I'm about to say fascinates you, the book is amazing. Nick Brockhausen. Brockhausen, whatever. He's got a weird last name. He wrote two different books, part one and part two, about his time in Mac V. Sogg. One was called We Few. That was the first one. The second one was called Whispers in the Tall Grass. Amazing. I mean, I've read a lot of Mac V. Sogg books. I don't know that I've ever had necessarily heroes I should say, like a specific hero. I'm going to be that guy, that kind of a thing. The McVie Saw guys are as close as heroes to me as anybody I've ever read about, and that includes guys in World War II and everything else. That's how amazing I find these people to be. You know how I've told you about Pure Talk many, many times before? And I tell you they're veteran-led? Their CEO, Reggie McVie Saw, two tours. Anyway. So here's the deal. Here's the Vietnam deal, right? So there's Vietnam. And then beside Vietnam, just no, beside it, all right? It's to the west, but beside Vietnam, there are two countries, Laos and Cambodia, okay? The Ho Chi Minh Trail, which you have heard of, was not one trail. It was a spider web of roads and trails and whatever. And it was used by North Vietnam to get men and materials down into South Vietnam. It was used as a feeder line to move men and materials into the war. It didn't take long for us to figure out that's what was happening. How are these guys getting these kind of munitions here? How are they getting reinforcements here? How are they feeding this? And then we started looking into it, and it was, oh my gosh, there's an entire highway system in these two countries. Now, for a lot of different legal reasons at the time, we couldn't just send in the Marines to take over these places. These are separate countries, not Vietnam. So we came up with a plan. We took Green Berets. There were Navy SEALs. It was honestly mostly Green Berets, but there were Navy SEALs, of course, involved. They did a lot too. I don't want to put down their service. There were some Marines involved. There were different guys, but we took these super duper super soldier guys, and we would take two or three of them. There was only two or three of them, and then they would get. And the numbers varied, a 10-man team of I was going to call them Vietnamese, local troops. I don't want to go into the details of it. It's too detailed. Local people, Montagnards and Chinese Hmongs, people that these troops would train. And then this team, the two or three Americans with their local guys, highly trained, they would throw them behind enemy lines to go locate, get information on the highway system, kill people, kidnap people for intelligence, call in airstrikes on supplies. The ultimate, I mean, every movie you've ever seen, every Behind Enemy Lines movie, it was all from this. All of it. These guys had the most insanely job, most insane job. More than half of them died. I expressed this before when I've talked about it. These guys are as close to heroes as I have in my life. I am still angry with my country for the mission itself. I don't believe Americans should ever be thrown into a mission where more than half of them die unless the country itself is at stake. Unless we are defending the homeland, I do not believe that is justified. But be that as it may. By the way, it was purely volunteer. You could never be assigned to it. It was purely volunteer. And I think it was, I'm going to mess up the numbers, but it was John Plaster who wrote in that book, SOG. He said, look, if you survive, I'm going to mess these numbers up, but I'm close. If you survived 10 missions, you were pretty lucky. If you got to 12 or 13, you're really, really flirting with danger. If you got to 15, other people in the unit would be looking at you like, how is he still alive? You didn't survive. We had whole units go back multiple times, more times than you can count, and we never saw them again. They just disappeared, gone. Because the movies make it look better, but when you go behind enemy lines, you die. You're behind enemy lines. And we had traitors, surprise, surprise, in South Vietnam who would give the North Vietnamese a heads up where our guys were going to get dropped in. And they'd be waiting for them there and just wipe them out. If you nerd out on military things, bravery, the jungle, jungle fighting, behind enemy lines, any of that stuff, if you like when I talk to BK or Clay Martin or any of that other stuff, if any of these things fascinate you at all, go start grabbing everything you can get your hands on MACV SOG. An unbelievably secret mission. And by the way, you admire Delta Force, right? The guys who just went down to Venezuela and snatched up Maduro. You admire Delta Force? Guess how Delta Force started. MACV SOG guys came back to America and they grabbed some of the ones who survived and said, we need some super secret unit of studs. Tell us how to do it. MACV SOG guys started Delta Force. How cool is that? If it fascinates you, read everything you can on it. And like I said, the ones who survived, there are not a ton of them, just more than half of them died. The ones who survived, they're writing books. They're going on podcasts. Go listen to these stories. Amazing men. Back to politics. I'm going to talk about some forgotten Americans before I get to emails. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Wednesday, a hump day. All right, I'll give you one quick MACV SOG story, okay, before I get back to the politics. I'll give you one, and I got this one from John Plaster's book, SOG. One of the bravest men I've ever read about in my life was a man who is known as Mad Dog. Mad Dog Shriver. If you ever look him up, you'll probably hear him labeled as the deadliest man in Vietnam. He was MACV SOG, of course. He was, I mean, I don't know what to say. When you would complete a mission, if you actually survived, they would give you downtime because it was so dangerous. You had to get downtime. On this guy's downtime, he'd go jump in with other teams and volunteer to go right back. Just, he was somebody known to be at home in the bush. And they called him Mad Dog. And Mad Dog had a dog that stuck with him at camp. Fast forward, Mad Dog ends up dying in combat, of course, charging a machine gun nest or something like that. But it's super brave. But before that, Mad Dog had a dog, and he loved this dog, loved this dog. Well, at this camp, now this camp's full of Green Berets and super studs. At this camp, they have a little area where you could go get a burger and a beer when you're not on a mission and things like that. Mad Dog's dog goes into that place, gets fed beer. Someone feeds the dog beer. Of course, dog gets sick. Dog poops on the floor. The guy who gave the dog beer gets a newspaper, whips the dog, and tosses him out. Mad Dog Shriver finds out about it. Grabs a .38 special, if I remember right, walks right back into that place where the dog had pooped, takes the .38 special, sets it down on a table, walks to the middle of the place, drops his pants, and poops in the middle of the place, stands up, buckles up his pants, and says, now, if anybody here wants to rub my nose in it and whip me with a newspaper, you come on over. The guy who had whipped his dog was so afraid for his life, he went and complained to the company commander. The company commander, he was asking him, hey, can you do something about this guy? The company commander laughed in his face, said, get out. I'm not doing anything about it. Crazy stories of the most insane, brave people. All right, before I get back to emails, I didn't mean to get sidetracked there. I just want to dwell on this, and I've ranted on this stuff before, but record share of Americans carry credit card debt and can't pay monthly bills. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what I have always been passionate about. It's what I will always be passionate about. It is your life. This is why I don't rant and rave about foreign policy. This is why I don't care about this place. This is why during COVID, why I was so loud screaming behind the microphone to stop this lockdown insanity. I care about normal people and how you live and that you can pay the bills and you can afford to go see your mother and you can afford college and that you can. This is what I care about. And I don't like how little I hear about these people from the people in Congress, Republican and Democrat. Roughly 111 million people, 50% of Americans with a credit card, and roughly 40% of the U.S. adult population carry credit card debt, according to a joint report from the Century Foundation. This story is from CBS News. 50% of Americans who have a credit card are paying 20-some percent interest every single month because they can't pay the credit card off. Chris said it's higher. Yeah, I know it's higher. Look, buddy, I was being nice. This is my concern. I do not concern myself with what goes on in Canada, Mexico, Ukraine, Russia, China, Japan, Israel, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Nigeria, Madagascar. This is my concern, and it angers me to no end that this is not the concern, the main concern I hear about from Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C. I understand there are other things beyond the lives of Americans that America has to deal with. I get that. I'm not naive. Foreign policy is part of everything. I understand that. But let me ask you something. Whoever your favorite politician is, and I'm asking you about your favorite one, your favorite politician, how often do they discuss things like this versus things overseas? How often? Because I pay attention to this stuff for a living. And it seems like every time I turn around, there's something being discussed that's not your life and your bills and the fact that people have to make ends meet and people have watched their standard of living disappear over the last 5 years. It started when we shut down the country for a bad chest cold, and they haven't stopped spending money, and they don't necessarily seem all that interested in making sure you can get back to the standard of living you had 4 or 5 years ago. And it freaking chaps me so badly. I guess not enough people in Washington have ever been out of work before. All right, let's do some emails. I'm going to get to some emails. Before we do that, let's talk about babies. Something else that never gets discussed. Oh, I don't know. The lives of the unborn. Little things like that. Unborn babies are everything. Because they can't defend themselves. They have nothing else. Do you know what percentage of women choose life when they get an ultrasound? 80%. When I tell you preborn is saving lives, when you're saving lives through preborn, I'm talking about your $28 is saving someone's life. If they can get that young woman who's scared, she's been lied to, she's about to have an abortion, if they can get her into one of their pro-life clinics and they can give her love and they can introduce her to her baby through ultrasound, that young woman chooses life almost every time. And that's what you do. Look, doesn't have to be $28. Maybe you're doing great. Give them 28 grand. I don't care. It's all tax deductible. Saving lives and it's tax deductible? Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go do it. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Hey, Jesse, as Patty Wan, anti-communist Trump in question, I have a moral question. Chris, what's Padawan? What is that? Star Wars thing? All right. Someone dumped their household trash in my garbage can at my residence. I went through it and located a work timesheet for a suspect in the illegal dumping slash theft of service incident. Knowing that it is a low-level misdemeanor offense in Texas and that law enforcement is limited on what they can do, was it wrong of me to file an official complaint with the corporate headquarters for the subject listed on the timesheet they left in my trash can? Because it felt amazing when I did it. All right. In all seriousness. So, I have this thing. Ob hates it. And I've talked to you about it before, but I have this thing. here's something I do. And I actually have many things like this, I'm sad to say, but this is something I do. I'm conscious of the people around me and how my conduct may or may not be affecting people around me. I'm so conscious of this when we were parents of small children. Our children were not allowed to act up in the restaurant. That was just not allowed. You would straighten your butt up, or we would go to the bathroom and have a chat. And, you know, you can teach them when they're very young. They have to straighten up, and they straightened up. I will not allow my life and the things I'm doing, if I can help it, to disrupt the lives of others. I'm conscious of that. But there is a type of person in our society. They never consider other people. I'm sure it's an upbringing thing. They only think about themselves at all times. Whatever they're doing, it's only them. There's no one else in the world that matters. And you know how you can tell one of these people? They get on their phone in public around other people. They do FaceTime calls. They get on speakerphones in restaurants, in the airport. By the way, speaking of parents in restaurants, I totally get letting your kids play on an iPad or a phone or something like that. Totally get that. Life's hard. It's hectic. You want to be able to go out to eat. Turn the friggin' volume down. I don't want to hear your kid playing Angry Birds when I'm out to dinner too. I don't know if you know this, but you're not the only one in the restaurant. Turn the volume down. If your kid doesn't like it, tell them you'll throw the iPad in the pool if they raise a stink about it. Things will be fine. Anyway, the type of person who listens to music loudly on their phone, FaceTimes with other people on their phone, gets on speakerphone on their phone. You see this with all kinds of different people in our society. You'll see some older people who do this, and people love to make excuses for them. Nope, it's rude. You've lived long enough. You'll see all kinds of dirtball foreigners who do this, but it doesn't matter who does it. It doesn't matter who does it. What I do is I simply respond in kind. If I am sitting in the airport and you are having a nice FaceTime conversation with your kids and your hubby while everyone else is just quietly reading a book or browsing on their phone or something like that, and I have to hear, no, right there behind me, then, well, I have music on my phone, and you're about to hear it, and you're about to hear it loudly. This mortifies Aubrey, absolutely mortifies Aubrey, and she thinks I'm just doing it out of revenge or spite. But I am not just doing it out of revenge or spite. Here's a fact. People who have learned values over their life, and I don't just mean from your parents. Obviously, that's the most ideal place to learn it. Preferably, it starts at home. But people who have had crappy upbringings have acquired values from other places. Boy Scouts, military, whatever, a great coach, a mentor, a church, or something. People who have learned right and wrong, values, consideration for other people throughout their lives, they learned it. It is a learned behavior. Considering others is learned behavior. But if some people have learned it, it's an obvious point that some other people have not learned it. They, whatever reason, never learned that the world doesn't revolve around them, that you should actually consider other people in your daily life. Therefore, somebody, somehow, some way has to educate them that there are other people and that what you're doing, if it is disruptive to others, well, it is disruptive to others. How in the world am I going to teach that couple FaceTiming their puppies? How am I supposed to teach them that it's rude except by responding in kind? Oh, you want to have that loud conversation with your boyfriend for 10 minutes while we all wait at the gate? Then please enjoy some Led Zeppelin's greatest hits. I'm going to dial it up on my phone, and you can enjoy some lovely music while you were on there. And you know what? They might not learn in that moment. They might not. I admit that. Don't get it people are generally don't get it people. And they'll never get it. I understand that. But there is a chance. You have to admit, there is a chance that in that moment, bing, the light bulb goes on. Because what's their first reaction going to be? I'm on the phone. And then, what's that? Is he playing Stairway to Heaven? How can he do that? I'm on the phone. Oh. I don't want to hear Stairway to Heaven. So he probably doesn't want to hear me argue with my boyfriend on speakerphone. I get it now. I'm being rude. I will stop this behavior. Rude people have to be taught. Selfish, unaware, self-centered people have to be taught. But beyond that, back to you. Somebody throwing trash in your trash can. That's a trash human being, if you will pardon the pun. That is a human being who thinks the world revolves around them. I guarantee you, I bet you $1,000 that person is a thief in some way in their life. The type of person who would do that is the type of person who would steal your stuff. Oh, he left his CDs sitting there. I think I'll take his CD. That is the type of person who would steal your stuff. And don't think that you're the first person who ever had their trash can invaded by that person's trash. I bet you they take their trash every single trash day and drive all over town and look for an unaccompanied trash can and dump it in there. Why not? The world revolves around me. I don't have any rules. I'll do whatever I want. So if they get called into the boss's office and reprimanded and or fired, you may say that's over the top for the dumping of a trash bag. I would argue there is a chance, not a guarantee, there is a chance you just taught that person a valuable lesson about life. No one else ever did. And that's not your fault. I wish he had a father who had taught him that. A coach, a priest, whatever. A rabbi, whatever. I wish someone somewhere along the way had taught that person values, but they didn't. Now, it's up to you. What, Chris? I am a great teacher. This is how you teach people things. Look, nobody wants to say this. There's no better lesson than pain. Pain has taught better lessons than anything else in the history of mankind. Pain and misery. That's how human beings learn. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We're going to get to foundational principles from the communists in just a moment. Before we get to that, though, really quickly here, Jewish producer Chris asked during the break, can I fling the dog poo they left on the lawn at their door? Well, here's the thing. Remember, it's not really about revenge. All right. The goal is we want everybody to wake up. The goal is a wake up, not revenge. It's an important distinction, all right? That's an important distinction. Therefore, an appropriate escalation is good. In my situation, somebody's playing music on their phone. I don't walk over to them, grab their phone, smash it on the ground, and punch them in the nose. That's what I want to do. Yes, of course, but I don't do that. Now you're talking about revenge, and that's not an attempt at education, at painful education. If the neighbor's dog is pooping on your yard, taking the poop and throwing it at their front door is not an appropriate education. What would be an appropriate education is your pet's poop goes in their front yard. In case you're wondering, I have done this multiple times. Yeah, Chris, I'm not kidding. I've done this multiple times in my life. If I see your dog pooping in my lawn, I will put my dog on a leash when he has to go, and I will walk right over to your house, and I'll stand in the middle of your lawn, and my dog will poop in your lawn. This is not out of revenge. I want you to look out your window. I want you to see me. And I want you to think to yourself, oh, yeah, it probably is rude to have your dog poop in someone else's lawn. I don't want to punish you. I want the light bulb to go bing. I want the light bulb to go on and you to say, oh, there are other people on the planet. I had no idea. But now I just found out there are other people. It's not only me. See, Chris, there's a difference between education and revenge. What you're discussing is revenge. Let's dial it down a notch, buddy. Don't be so angry all the time. I've talked to you before about communists having what I call foundational principles, right? And in our attempt at education, speaking of this, we can lose sight of this. For a committed communist, they can never allow themselves to wake up from their slumber in certain ways, because if they do, then their entire religion comes crumbling down. I've compared it to Christianity and Jesus Christ himself. If you were to show a Christian somehow, you can't do this, but if you were to show a Christian somehow that Jesus was not the Son of God, didn't die for their sins, he was all fake, he never even existed, if you could somehow like do something like that, a Christian probably wouldn't acknowledge it, even if you could show that to them in black and white. Why? Well, without that, their entire life, their entire belief system comes crumbling down. You're not challenging one thing. If you're not a believer, it may be one thing for you. It's just a thing. Hey, it's just a guy. But without that, quote, guy, Lord, I'm not calling you that. It's just an analogy. Without that, quote, guy, you've destroyed somebody's entire mind, entire foundational way of thinking. It's the foundation of everything. So I told you about that student, 18-year-old girl, butchered while she was on the beach with her friends by a Venezuelan illegal the Biden administration led into the country. I told you about that. It's an awful, absolutely awful story in every possible way. Two things for you on that. One, Democrat politicians are deeply evil. This is J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, talking about.
There have been real failures. Those failures, of course, extend beyond the borders of Illinois. They're national failures, a failure to have comprehensive immigration reform, a failure of the president.
We let an 18-year-old get butchered by an animal because we haven't done amnesty yet. As I've explained to you before, there is no tragedy so great that you will get the communists to admit to their evil ways. It's not humanly possible. That's one. Two, here's a headline. Loyola, remember the 18-year-old girl was a Loyola student. Loyola newspaper apologizes for calling the suspected murderer an illegal immigrant. They named him and they called him, quote, an illegal immigrant from Venezuela. Of course, that's who he is. They put in an editor's note, and it said, immigrant man charged in the murder. That headline didn't reflect the most important elements of the story and was taken down minutes later to prevent any further harm to affected community members. Additionally, the body of the original post, we described the man who was charged as an illegal immigrant, using the language provided by the Department of Homeland Security. That language does not align with the Associated Press style, nor does it align with the values of this newspaper. We deeply regret these errors, and we're committed to continuing high standards we hold for ourselves and as journalists. And a wonderful 18-year-old girl was butchered by a barbarian brought here by Democrats, and the local newspaper issued a lengthy public apology for calling him an illegal immigrant. These are foundational principles for these people. America's evil, white people evil, Christians evil. Every foreign barbarian should be treated as a rescue dog. They're all entitled to come to this extremely evil country, pillage it, rape it, kill everyone you want in it, and you have to describe them in the most glowing possible terms. And you're angry because you want them to stop doing that, and I'm here to tell you, you can no more remove that belief from these people than you can remove the belief in Jesus Christ from a born-again Christian. It's their everything. Without it, their entire world comes apart. Acknowledge the evil and know that we'll fight against it. We still have another hour. By the way, we paid for his housing costs. Taxpayers footed the housing costs for the illegal alien accused of murdering Sheridan Gorman. Disgusting. Let's do something wonderful. Let's get rid of some pain real quick. That's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to be pain-free? What would you give to go back to the days when you were pain-free, when your back didn't hurt anymore? When you woke up and your neck wasn't sore and stiff? When you never had to rub your hand because it hurts all the time? It's always sore. What was that like? Do you remember? Relief Factor is here to give you those days back. The rest of your life, pain-wise, can look like the first part of your life. Start taking a supplement, 100% drug-free supplement. This supplement will build in your system over time. You're going to wake up every day, and that pain is going to be less and less and less. Give me 3 weeks. You take a three-week quick start of Relief Factor. It's $19.95. That's less than a buck a day. You take a three-week quick start of it. Tell me how you feel. I want to hear. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.